Reconciliation. Reconciliation is rarely easy. It's not very comfortable. It's not intuitive, but in most cases, reconciliation is very necessary. And it's necessary because, I think you're with me, is we don't want to carry around the baggage year after year after year. Through relationship after relationship, wondering what's wrong with everybody else when the common denominator in all of our relationships is me. And then there's our conscience, right? For me, and I don't know if you can relate to this or not, but I have this feeling a lot of times where I feel like I need to, right? I need to, but I just don't. I have this ought or this sense of should, and I just don't listen to it. And after a while, if you ignore it enough, right, it just kind of goes away, or, you know, not as quite of an urgent push of need to or to go. And so that part of my conscience I can kind of quiet to move on from. And for those of us that would say that we're followers of Christ, those that have a relationship with Christ, reconciliation is essential. Reconciliation is so important for Christ's sake. Because it's such a big part of our faith. Right? We know we should, but we just don't feel like it. We know it's weird, it's uncomfortable, right? We don't like the awkwardness of it. And so we decide to ignore it. We don't get to where we want to go because there's an emotion tied to it, a strong emotion tied to it a lot of times. And a lot of times we think or we make the excuse, I know I make this excuse, that if I bring it up or I talk about it or I approach them, that it's just going to make it worse, right? There's so much negative emotion, there's so much turmoil there. Or just that weight of the emotion just doesn't allow us to push through it. Maybe you're like me, and I think I've done this more than once, and it kind of can go two different ways, but I'll have imaginary conversations with somebody, right? And for some reason, this is going to make you feel awkward, I realize. It happens to me when I'm in the shower, but sorry about that. But I have these imaginary conversations, and I'm talking to this person, and I'm, you know, sharing all these things, and it goes one way where I'm telling them I have all of my reasons, this is why I am right, and this is what you have done wrong, and you need to apologize, right? And when I do that, not, you know, some of the time in those conversations, they're like, oh, you're right. You are so right. You got it perfect. I am wrong. Let me apologize and kiss your feet. I don't know why that's important to me, apparently. But, you know, sometimes that's the way the conversation goes. But sometimes in those conversations, I say something and they respond back how I expect them to respond back. And then I just really, really angry. And then that's when I start, you know, scrubbing off skin when I'm doing that. But, you know, it can kind of go both ways, but sometimes in those imaginary conversations, we don't allow ourselves a true response, a true reaction that someone might have in our conversations and in those realities. And sometimes we feel like it'll go so far one way or the other that we just say, well, it's not worth it. It's not even worth taking the time. It's not even worth making the effort. And even worse, maybe, is when we go with someone, we talk to someone, we share something, we start to expose who we are. And they say, no, that's all right. No, I don't care. Thanks, but no thanks. And I think that fear, for me, is almost worse than anything. But then we come to Christmas. We come to Christmas, and at this point in the season, maybe we're at the mall, or we're listening to the radio, or we're watching a movie at home, a Christmas party, or we sing a song. And something in our mind, some message that we're singing about, brings everything kind of back up again. Stirs everything back up. And maybe it's this song for you. We've sang this Christmas season, I think, at least once or twice. Maybe it's this song, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God and Sinners Reconciled. Right? Peace on Earth, Mercy Mild, God and Sinners Reconciled. Reconciled. And I know if you're like me, sometimes we sing something and we say something or we, you know, do something and we don't necessarily think about it, right? We'll sing the words and we'll just kind of go on. But there's a lot going on in those few words. There's a lot happening that's being shared with us that we're singing about. We like the peace on earth part, the mercy mild. I get a little confused by that. I'm not sure exactly what he means. But that last part, God and sinner, reconciled. Right, that's what I want. That's what I think we all want. We want to have that reconciliation with God. We say, keep Christ in Christmas, or Jesus is the reason for the season, and that's really what it means, is that God and sinner are reconciled. I look at my life, and the most important thing in my life, and I'm sure it's true for all, most, if not all of us, is that the most important thing is that God and sinner are reconciled. That Jesus came, like Steve talked about in his communion meditation, that Jesus came to die on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be reunited with him, connected with him, have that deep personal relationship with him. And we like that part of Christmas. And we like that part of Christmas is because God did all of the work. He did all of the work to come and take care of the God and sinner reconciled, or at least most of the work, 99.999% of the work. And we need to acknowledge, though, believe in, and receive to be a part of that reconciliation process. We do have to take that step. I mean, God built the bridge all the way up to our ledge, and so we need to make sure to take that step. But what about this idea of sinner and sinner reconciled? What does it mean that sinner and sinner are reconciled? And that's a little harder to swallow sometimes. Right? We've got our list of 25 or 29 or, 37 and a half reasons why I shouldn't make that call. Or I shouldn't send that letter. Or I shouldn't send or buy that gift. But God had an endless reason, had an endless list of reasons why he shouldn't have come to be reconciled with us. Each and every single one of us, I'm sure if we were completely honest, would be able to rattle off a list of things that were perfectly legitimate reasons for God not to take that step, for God not to offer that to us. But we're just so thankful to God, right? We're just constantly thankful to God that he was willing to allow our choices and our things and all of his reasons for not coming to still make the decision to come, to sacrifice. And the thing that makes it so strange is that God reconciling with you and me cost him so much more than just a phone call or just a letter or even a plane ticket, or sometimes just an awkward conversation, right? We get along fine, everything's going pretty smoothly, but I'm not going to bring up that one little thing because it's just going to be so weird, right? And God gave up so much more. But when it comes to sinner reconciliation, the cost sometimes just seems too high. We bury our head, keep to ourselves, and just allow the season to pass. But the Apostle Paul, already in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul knew perfectly well the cost and the sacrifice that went into what Jesus did for us. And God, it seemed to make a particular effort to connect with the Apostle Paul in meeting him on the road to Damascus. But he gives us a great perspective on the Christmas season without ever mentioning the birth. And we see it in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 19. He says, For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. And that word fullness is kind of, to me, like when you put, I don't know if you're wrapping Christmas presents, and you put all these presents in a box, right? And in order to get it to stay shut, you had to get a leg on it and lean on it and tape, right? Maybe you didn't do that. I cram a lot of stuff and things. I apparently seem to do that a lot. But, right, that's the idea of fullness. He got it in there, and he crammed it and had to lean on it to get it taped shut. I mean, that's the fullness. That's the, it couldn't be contained, almost. And so the fullness to dwell in him, and that's Jesus. And through Jesus, through Jesus to reconcile to himself. And that word reconcile, bring back together, reunite, connect again. Have that deep, close relationship. Reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so once, he says, you were alienated, so far away, distant, completely separated from God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. And we don't like that word evil behavior or those words because I'm not that evil, right? I didn't do that, not that bad. Didn't do too much. But I just think about it, and I think about my kids. And, you know, when one of them treats another one poorly, and there's two things that get me going, and I don't know why. It's probably something back in my childhood that I need to evaluate. But two things in my house especially that I don't tolerate, and one is fists and punching and kicking and stuff. Right, when there's violence. That's an immediate timeout kind of a thing. And the second thing is, and this has hit me more recently, is name calling. And that's something I won't tolerate. It just bothers me. And so I kind of, and not that my kids are evil, but evil behavior, when I think about my kids and how they treat one another, that's kind of the image I think God has for us too. That when we treat each other so poorly, when we not just throw fists and name call, but all the ways that we mistreat one another, in so many ways, I think, falls into that category of evil behavior. And so I just imagine how God sees our children treat, his children treat one another. But he says in verse 22, but now God has reconciled you, brought us back together by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish. And I love that word, free from defect, free from scars, free from everything. And also free from accusation. None of us like to be accused. None of us like to be judged. Even if we've done something wrong, it always feels worse when someone points that finger at us. But because of Christ, because of the cross, because of the things that he's done, we are now without that blemish. We are without that evil behavior. We're without those accusing fingers. And we leverage that all year long. All year long, we leverage that. When we confess our sins, when we talk to God, when we pray for healing, like we have our prayer list, when we pray for things, God, we leverage that. We assume that we're good with God. Because when we think about reconciled, and I love this image of reconciliation, is when we're reconciled, God has removed everything that has made us incompatible with him. To be reconciled means that he's removed everything that's made us incompatible with him. And so it's kind of like having a conversation with God. And if we're having a conversation with God and we're talking to God and we're saying, God, are we good? Right? Are we're good? And, you know, from our end, we're like, yeah, you know, if God's okay, if you're okay with me, God, I'm okay with you, right? We want to have that, you know, be good with him. So if you're okay with me, I'm okay with you, and we're good. But then what God would ask us, well, how are you doing with him? How are you doing with her? Well, that doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if I'm okay with these guys or her or them or whoever, right? As long as you and I are good, God, we're okay. But I don't think that's what Jesus talked about. I don't think that's the way that God or Jesus saw the world. Actually, in Matthew 5, here quickly, Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24, Jesus talks about how important our relationship to each other is. He says, actually, when you're going to go and offer a gift, you're going to bring this some kind of offering to God. And, you know, in the Old Testament, the temple system, you brought a lamb or a dove or some kind of animal or something to sacrifice. But whatever we would bring, a worship to God, a praise to God, some kind of an offering of service or something, we're going to bring it to God. Jesus tells us that if you remember that there is something going on between you and a brother or a sister, leave that offering, leave that gift. Go take care of that business first, and then come and worship me, then come and praise me, then come and serve me or offer your gift. It's so important, he says, to have those relationships taken care of, to reconcile sinner. And not to say that we can't be reconciled to God first. I say we have to be reconciled to God first. But I would say that in this teaching and this thing that Jesus is telling us is that it's so important in order to gain depth, in order to grow closer to Christ, in order to have more, be more and more like Him, then those relationships we have with one another need to be taken care of first. But it's hard. Right? I'd be the first one to admit that there are lots of hard conversations that I've had to have, probably still some hard conversations I need to have. Because it's so much easier to be right with God than it is to be right with others. And that makes sense. God has done so much of the work. But why, especially at this time of the year, why is it so hard to demonstrate what we celebrate? Why is it so hard to demonstrate what we celebrate? And today, this morning, all day today, I guess, we'll celebrate Christmas. And I was trying to think of all these movies, right? You sit and watch a movie, maybe you'll watch a movie or two today with your family, but all of these Christmas movies, they give us this image of a family being reconciled, or I was thinking the Grinch, right? He was reconciled, and all these different stories. And how in our culture, that we can see even in our culture, there's that need to reconcile. We don't do it real well a lot of times, but there's that need. And now, so to me, the question we have is, what's the true meaning of Christmas? We have the opportunity to do what our Heavenly Father has done for us. What He did at Christmas for each one of us. Peace on earth, mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled, so that sinner and sinner could be reconciled. And this is how the story goes. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and family of David. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." So this Christmas season, this Christmas day, are there steps? Is there something? Is there someone that we can step into, that we can step towards for sinner and sinner reconciliation? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we lay out our hearts to You this morning. We offer to You an offering, a sacrifice to You, to be led, to be guided, to be prompted, to be spoken to by Your Spirit, so we can take steps, not only to reconcile ourselves to others, but so that our relationship with You can grow deeper and more meaningful and more powerful. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.